630 Chad presents The Elks This Week. A close-up look at the Elks and the Canadian Football League. Every week, we take you inside the game. From the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 Chad. Here's Morley Scott.
Hey, football fans. This week on the show, part two of my interview with New Elks quarterback McLeod Bethel Thompson. We'll also hit the news of the week from the Elks and spend some time with Dave Campbell, looking at what the Elks have done so far this offseason and what we think is still to come. But first, MBT part two as he gets ready to come to Edmonton.
It's important to become a part of the community, you know, so I'm excited to get up there and to learn a new space and a new stadium and a new team.
You mentioned your family, your wife and a daughter, and you're living in L.A. because your wife works in Hollywood. Tell me a little bit about her she's doing a show, writing for a show on Disney Plus, correct?
He has about seven jobs right now, so there's only about a half of one that I can talk about. She's a phenomenal talent. She's an artist through and through. Spoken wordist by trade, done plays on Broadway, then got into television and movies in the last about 10 years, and she's a wanted commodity in Hollywood. So it's a wild, wild world, very, you know, kind of analogous to sports in some ways, but she just picked up her seventh job, so she's a busy woman. And she's on multiple projects. She's a screenwriter by trade. That's kind of her tag, but she's more than that. She's an artistic director. She's a cultivator of space. She's an advocate. She does a lot of different work and she's going to have a long, long career. So we're in it for the long haul, and I'm here to support her in any way I possibly can.
So she's busy right now. That makes you kind of a stay-at-home dad while you're working out and getting ready for the football season. That must be pretty cool for you, too, to be able to spend so much time with your daughter.
I absolutely love it. My daughter, Aziza, is the coolest person I've ever met. So no offense to anybody out there in the world, but I know the coolest person in the world. And she just turned three on December 30th. She has a really small learning group community of about nine friends. So I go there and I teach them some running techniques and I hang out with her as much as I possibly can, just because she's a fascinating person. And she's at that age of three where she's an absolute sponge. So it makes me very cognizant of what I say around her, because whatever I say to her today is coming back for me tomorrow. And it's just a really fun process to see someone come out so uniquely themselves and then develop on a daily basis and just soak things up and transform and truly blow my mind on a daily basis. So I'm very lucky to be able to hang out with her on a daily basis.
Now, what's the situation going to be when the season starts? Are they coming with you for some of the season, or are you coming by yourself? Obviously, it's going to be tough, I imagine, for your wife to leave.
Yeah, we're still working that out, and we're ironing out the details. And it's a big reason why, you know, I wasn't able to play CFL ball last year, is because that wasn't possible, because we didn't have a school setting for my daughter. And because there is some sort of school setting and some sort of support there, it looks like majority of the time I'll be up there by myself. But I do want them as much as possible. I'll come bring them up on weekends or whatever I can possibly do. We're still developing that plan as we speak. It's very much a collaboration, but because of the resources here and because of that school community, it looks like the majority of the time they'll be down here, but we're still developing that and we're going to map it out, you know, day by day, week by week throughout the season.
Talking with Elks quarterback McLeod Bethel Thompson, who signed a contract with the Elks last week. How was that process? Was it a long process? Did you get it narrowed down to where you wanted to go quickly?
You know, having a relationship with J-Jack and Coach Howell and that was, you know, kind of in the works for a while, you know, having known them from Toronto and what they went over there. So, but in terms of the process of getting to know Coach Jones and G-Roy and the rest of the staff, it was a number of months process, and it just felt like they continued to show up in all the right ways and say all the right things and believe in me as a player and really wants to build something that I believe in, which is changing the culture. You know, it's a culture of being a complete player and being a complete person. I think the first thing we got to talk about is how do we pick up our trash? How do we leave a field? How do we leave a locker room? How do we respect people around the organization? How do we respect our fan base? You know, that's how you build a winning organization. And the more they said that, the more they preached that, it's like, this is the place that I can leave something there, you know, because I won't be there forever, but I can join a young roster that has a lot of talent, and we can build a winning culture. And the CFL is a better league when Edmonton is a good team. And so I'm really excited to get to work and to build this thing brick by brick and truly focus on the process of getting a winning culture back in the Edmonton locker room.
You talked about some things there. You're like, quote, picking up the trash and how you leave the field. How the little things are important, aren't they? And I mean, that's how you build it, as you just talked about. The little things are probably more important than a lot of people believe in this kind of an atmosphere.
You can't control winning and losing. You can't control the bounce of a football. It's not a circle, right? It's an oblong shape that bounces this way and that way. And you can't control 12 bodies working as one. You can't control referees. You can't control the elements. You can't control so much. So to try to focus on that is futile. You got to focus on the process. You got to control what you can control. And how you can control is making sure that each individual is dedicated to perfecting themselves and to handling their business and doing their job to the highest level. And so if it's a little thing like leaving a piece of the trash, someone else is going to pick up that piece of trash. So you just made more work for someone else. But if you handle your business and you clean up your locker and you clean up everything that you do and how you move and how you operate in the world, then the whole burden for everyone becomes lighter. You know, it's the analogy of everyone pushing the sled. If everyone's pushing as hard as possible, everyone's job of pushing the sled is easier. And so when you create that type of culture and there is a mass, that's the beauty of football. That's the beauty of when there's collective bodies are working for a unified goal and they're willing to give of themselves for the man next to each other. Anything is possible. And that's the magic of football. And that's why I play the game. And that's the type of environment I want to be a part of.
All right, last question for you. Trey Ford, as soon as it was announced that the Elks were interested in you and that they'd signed you, everyone would say, what about Trey Ford? Tell me your approach to working with Trey Ford. I know when you met with the media right after you signed, you said you were excited about it. It was one of the reasons you wanted to come to Edmonton. How important is it to you to come here and win and do everything you want to do as a football player, but also to help him along and help him become a better player?
Absolutely. I'm very excited. And it's because you can see the magic, right? Everyone talks about potential, but potential can be a very dangerous thing because for a guy like Trey, he has this, you know, this kind of spark. And you, when you get in trouble or you're not sure about what's going on, you can lean on the spark too much. And so I want to help him in every way possible that he can develop his on-schedule game as much as possible. Because once he gets his on-schedule game crisp and clean and he's reading his 1-2-3s and he has that process, he has the cues that can get him to play the simple game, he can then reintegrate the spark into it and it can become truly magical. So there is some work to be done there, and I hope he's on board with me. And I've had, you know, a conversation with him where it's like, I'm here to help as much as I am anything, you know, because the CFL is a better game when there are good quarterbacks playing across the league. So I know he's a young talent, but he's putting himself in some very dangerous positions by leaning on his natural ability. And so the more we can get him comfortable in the easy stuff, then the hard stuff can be an addition to that. So I just want to help him to have him a long, illustrious career, not only because he's a good, talented quarterback, but because he's also of Canadian blood. And I think that's really important for this league to have good young Canadian talent, because there is untapped football talent in the Canadian, you know, across Canada. And so the more that kids in Canada can see young people that look like themselves playing the game, the better for the Canadian game is going to be long term. So I'm truly excited to get to work. I'm excited to help in any and all ways. I hope I can earn his trust. And that's a daily process of earning his trust, that I truly am in it for his best interest, because what's best for him is best for all of us. So I'm excited to get to work, and hopefully we can build that day to day throughout the season.
Thanks to McLeod Bethel Thompson for spending time with us on the Elks This Week. Coming up next, News of the Week and Dave Campbell when we return to the Elks This Week on 630 CHED.
Now, more football talk on the Elks This Week. Here's Morley Scott on the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 CHED.
Back on the Elks This Week, bringing in now my good friend and yours, Dave Campbell, joins us now. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Hey, Morley, doing good. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. We're another week closer to football. It's still like 4 months away. By this time in 4 months, the Elks will have played a preseason game by now, so we'll have a little bit more information about the 2024 team than we do now. But they did make some news this week, and we'll go over that and talk about it a little bit. First and foremost, I want to talk about a free agency. They're starting to sign. They've signed almost all of their own guys, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But they brought the whole offensive line back from last year with the signing a two-year contract for Tomas Jack Cordilla, which was announced this year, a two-year extension, fourth overall, I believe, in the 2020 draft. Became a full-time starter last year, started all 18 games at guard, and now obviously ready to take the next step. Bringing him back is a important move because he keeps one of the young guys, you know, in the fold. But that offensive line, we say they're all coming back. They all got to be better next year.
Yeah, I think so. And I think continuity is a good thing. And I think that's probably the most important aspect of the signing is now you have all of your starting five back with Tomas Jack Cordilla now signed. So it was interesting because last week when Darius Vladeck was released by the Argos, I went,
Yeah.
Just wondering, because he's a very good player. He got hurt in training camp very early in the season, couldn't get back into the lineup at all, which was a very good Argos line. But I'm thinking, you know, Chris Jones drafted him in 2017 when he was with the Riders. So, but you're going with what you know. And look, this O-line unit improved throughout the season from probably, you know, week 10, week 11 on, around the time when Jarius Jackson took over as offensive coordinator and Trey Ford was named the new starting quarterback. It got better. And then it kind of flattened out a little bit, probably in the last, you know, four games. I don't mind the signing at all, but here's the problem I have with the O-line with Tomas Jack Cordilla. It's kind of a microcosm of the team. There is too many boom-bust players on this team who are either really good in games or really bad in games. We need to see more consistency and performance, and that's what I'm looking for with Tomas Jack Cordilla, who I thought had some very good games like the O-line, but then we had games where it was pretty ugly.
Yeah, and the O-line has to be, I don't know, about a different style. They still have to do what they do, but with a different style of quarterback behind them from what they had the last 10 games of last year in Trey Ford now with a guy who's going to stand in the pocket, delivers quickly, but stands in the pocket more, McLeod Bethel-Thompson has to have protection to be successful.
Absolutely. You got to keep the quarterback clean and upright. And I think this is where McLeod Bethel-Thompson as well is going to be a benefit for the offense. Someone who is experienced, someone who prepares well, someone who's going to work with Jarius Jackson as the offensive coordinator and all of the coaches, and is going to help the offensive line as well. And he's going to, you know, lay down his own expectations of performance and success. And I think that's what a veteran quarterback can do. You know, and nothing against Trey Ford or Taylor Cornelius, but when you got McLeod Bethel-Thompson, you got command. And I think that's going to help the offensive line, hopefully. But, you know, McLeod Bethel-Thompson, too, this is what will help the offensive line. He knows where to go with the football more often than not.
Yeah, all right. One other note on the offensive line. The Elks also signed Antonio Garcia, a familiar name, had a pretty good training camp last year with the Elks and started at left tackle in game one and then got released. So they're bringing him back for another go-round and an attempt with him. One other veteran has come to the end of the line with the Edmonton Elks, and that is Ed Gainey. A tough move because is a well-respected and well-liked player by everybody in the organization, but it's going to be 34 at the start of the season this year, and I just think the Elks, he was released, and I just think the Elks want to move forward with younger, cheaper guys, but mostly younger guys in building, and we saw a lot of those guys take a step forward last year.
I'll say this about Ed Gainey. Parents, if you have a child, whether it's football or any sport, and really in life, you want to be like Ed Gainey, who is an excellent, excellent class individual, works hard, prepares well, practices well, will stand up for his teammates, and will also hold his teammates accountable. You know, we only had 2 years with Ed, and they were fabulous 2 years. You got honesty from Ed Gainey, but he was honest but fair. As far as the play is concerned, you know, I think he was hurt a little bit because the players beside him changed all the time. All right. And I don't think that helped him in 22. But even last year, you know, I thought he had a good start to the season and only lasted five quarters, unfortunately, because he hurt his collarbone in the second quarter in that loss to the Lions. and then came back, and he was all right. But then probably mid-September on, the last month, it was really rough for him, I thought. He got beat a lot, and I think the age started to show. But, yeah, they got to get younger, and they definitely have a lot of younger DBs on the roster that they can turn to. But Ed Gainey, class individual, whatever he does next, I wish him all the best.
And chances he does want to play again, and he'll be a good fit on a team that needs a veteran to step in. So we certainly do wish him all the best moving forward. The Elks in that defensive backfield now, the only real true veterans, Scott Hutter and Lucas Purifoy, and we have to decide who's playing where still, but they're going to come back with a lot of guys who made their debuts during last season, and one guy in Donovan Olumba, who's, this will be his third year, but he's only played five games, so they're going to be a very young group back there.
Yeah, they will be, and you know, I think there's talent there. What you want to see is this become a steady group. Again, we go back to that boom bust. But also when things get bad, when things are going against you, I thought we saw too many times last season where I think their psyche kind of was really affected, and it took them a while to kind of get back into the game. And now I think what we need to see is that steady level of consistency with how they manage their emotions and how they manage the bad moments. They got to stay more level. And, you know, I mean, guys like Bratton Gray, Kai Gray, you know, Marcus Lewis, Marlon Franklin, very good players. It's just we have to see more, I guess, just more consistency with play, but also consistency with how they manage the moment.
Talking with Elks radio analyst Dave Campbell, who is joining us here on the Elks this week. One more signing I think we should bring up. And now CFL teams sign a ton of players in the offseason. Some of them come in to make training camp, make the training camp roster full. Some of them come in with a chance to play. Some of them are going to be long shots. This guy, I think, has a chance to make an impact, especially with the trade of Jake Ceresna. Robert Kimdichie was signed by the Elks. He's a first-round draft pick of the Arizona Cardinals. He played 5 years in the National Football League, 59 games on his resume. He's a guy who knows how to play defensive line, and he might be the guy, the answer on that D-line when you talk about, well, where are you going to – how are you going to replace Jake Ceresna?
He's definitely going to be in the mix for sure. An intriguing player, five-star recruit out of Mississippi. And unfortunately, you know, maybe it was a little bit too much of a rabble-rouser, or maybe gotten a bit of trouble because he dropped in the first round. He probably could have been a higher pick than 26 overall. So we haven't really seen the best out of him. But how many times have we seen this, you know, in the CFL, where, you know, I think of Adarius Bowman, who probably should have played in the NFL, but he didn't. And he came, you know, when he played in Edmonton, he said he knew it was his last shot, right? So can Kimdichie do the same thing here? And, you know, again, intriguing prospect, and someone that's probably going to compete definitely for that chance to replace a very good player in Jake Ceresna.
All right, we got a couple of minutes left here, David. A couple of topics I want to broach with you before we leave. Free agency. Elks have done a pretty good job locking up their own guys. By my count, the only starter that they want back, I think, is A.C. Leonard. I think they're ready to move on from Manny Arsenault. And other than that, they have signed all the starters, re-signed all the starters who are about to go to free agency.
Yeah, it's pretty good work by Chris Jones and G. Roy Simon. I believe Tony Jones is done. I think he'll be back, and I think you just slap him right there at Will linebacker alongside with the middle linebacker, Niles Morgan. A.C. Leonard, you know, we'll see. I think this is one of those cases where maybe he wants to wait until free agency hits, but maybe he says, you know what, I'm just going to sign back in Edmonton. Definitely very valued here. Yeah, I agree with you with Manny Arsenault, and this could be a scenario, Morley, where this could be a plan B for the Elks if – I don't know if Manny's going to get signed before free agency by anybody. I can foresee after free agency cools off and things settle down and teams reassess themselves, maybe they go, okay, let's call Manny Arsenault. But I think Manny Arsenault's chances of coming back to Edmonton are not great. I don't know how active they'll be in free agency just because they signed so many pending free agents and won't have many left. But one name or a couple names I'll throw out there, and we're going back to the D-line. Anthony Lanier, who almost signed here last year, but then ended up signing the richest deal for a D-lineman with the Riders. I think he'd be a suitable replacement, a little older than Ceresna, but still would be really, really good. Sean Oakman is another name I would throw out there. Very good run stopper, but I would really keep my eye on Anthony Lanier when free agency opens.
February the 13th for CFL free agency. We'll see what happens on that day. The other topic we're not going to get to because we're out of time, but we'll probably hear some news, I would think, maybe next week about the Elks coaching staff, because they've lost Demetrius Maxey. They've lost Jordan Lennon. We know for sure what's going on with Steve McAdoo, and is there going to be Jason Shivers coming in as a new defensive coordinator? Those are the rumors, so we'll have to wait and see what happens. Maybe next week we'll hear from the Elks about their coaching staff. Dave, thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Mark.
And that is the Elks this week on 630 CHED. We're 1 week closer to football. Still 4 months to go, but we're getting closer, folks. So hang in there. We'll talk more Elks football in 7 days' time on the Elks this week on 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.